Welcome to the Sermon Podcast of First Alliance Church in Lexington, Kentucky. The sermon you're about to hear, The Church at Rome, Characteristics of a Church that Lives on Mission, was preached by our pastor of outreach and missions, Tyrone Vinegar, on Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. It was recorded on June 26, 2022, and is a part of our series, A Stained Beauty.
Good morning, church. How are you today? Amen. Amen. I am excited to be here with you today. I am trying some new things and excited about what God has put on my heart to share with you guys today. I'm Tyrone Vinegar, pastor of outreach and mission here at First Alliance Church. I'm thrilled that I get to serve in this capacity here at this church and just excited about what God has for us. As Paul said earlier in the announcements, we are still in our Stained Beauty series, and I'm excited about just getting an opportunity to hear about what God has done in the church history and how that history will get to be continually lived out through First Alliance Church. So if you're here with us for the first time, Stained Beauty is a book that was written by our president of our denomination, Dr. John Stumbo. And it is a wonderful book. I encourage you, get a copy, read it. It's really, really good. But right now we're looking at the Church of Rome. So I'm in chapter 8 of the book. And I just really want to encourage you that if you feel called to read this book, please go out and get this book. I'm done being a commercial for the book. Today, I want to talk to you guys just about a simple message, characteristics of a church that lives on mission. Comes from the scripture, Romans 1, verses 16 through 17, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. Now, I know some of you have just already noted that, well, he's got a shirt on that says Romans 1:16. I promise you, I'm not trying to start a sermon series in Scripture Shirt Day. I just happened to see this shirt. I said, this would fit pretty good. And anyone that's been around me long enough, whether you enjoy it or don't enjoy it, knows I am a Georgia Bulldog fan. Well, here's what I've come to the realization. Sometimes people should just know that I do believe in the scripture that we say we believe in all the time. So I'll start wearing shirts like this as well, just so I can hopefully have an opportunity to enter into conversation, because I'll tell you, I'm praying someone ask me why I wear this shirt. Well, let's understand and let's get back into our topic. In the book of Romans, we have a wonderful book here, full of doctrine, full of teaching, but this book was written right around the time of Paul's third missionary journey. We see Paul is in a city of Corinth. Paul is on his way back to Jerusalem so he can actually bring the offering for the saints. And Paul is written in the book of Romans that he has a desire to go see the Roman church. So Paul is asking the Roman church to pray along with him as he prepares to make his trip back to Jerusalem so he can take the offering and then hopefully make it to Rome. But we have some things that kind of get in the way of Paul actually making it to Rome in the way he desired to. Our next map shows us actually where the city of Rome is. The city of Rome is this multicultural capital of what was considered the Western world at the time. We have diversity within the church. We have Jewish believers, we have Gentile believers, and they've all come together to advance the kingdom of God. It's great because they were all on the same page, but as Paul asked them to pray, Paul wants to go and minister to Rome, to the Roman church, but God actually has different plans for Paul. That's why we had our responsive reading earlier today. In Jerusalem, before Paul's able to leave, he's arrested, and Paul gets this wonderful governmental all-expense-paid trip to Rome so he can actually make it to the city, but he does not have the freedom to minister to the Roman church the way he was hoping that he would. So what we are seeing in this sometimes is that God will not always answer our prayers the way we want them to be answered, but we have to be careful to understand that sometimes God just says no when he's answered our prayers. Sometimes he says, yes, but I want it done this way. And in our responsive reading, Paul got to talk about the greatness or the goodness of God, that he was in chains for Jesus's name's sake. And I love it because it says he ministered to guards throughout the prison every single time someone came to a cell. So Paul was living on mission. So I'm excited about what God wants to do. I love this quote that John Stumbo said. John Stumbo said in the book, when God wants to get something done, he raises up leaders. Yet leaders aren't called to ministry single-handedly. Most of God's work on earth is done through people whose names we won't know until we make it into heaven. The Church of Rome was known throughout the world. In Romans 1:8, Paul talks about, because your faith is being reported all over the world. Well, what do we know about the Church of Rome? We know one thing. We know that none of the apostles actually went and planted a church in the city of Rome because we don't have any scripture that says so. So the belief is that someone who was at Pentecost on the day that Peter preached took the message back, planted home churches, and it blew up like wildfire, and the people were wholeheartedly devoted to the apostles' teaching, and they wanted to continually pursue what God had for them. I love what he said there in Romans 1:8. It says, your faith is being reported all over the world. First Alliance, do you know your faith is being reported all over the U.S.? Do you know it's being reported all over the world? I went to Resonate in Colorado Springs in 2021 and told people I was from Lexington, Kentucky. And the first thing that came out of their mouth was First Alliance. I said, no, actually, I'm from Lex City, but there is a sister church within the city of Lexington. First Alliance, your faith is being reported all over the world because people know that you have always had a history of advancing the gospel. So I want to say thank you, and it made it so easy to just come and just join alongside of you. But I love another quote that John Stumbo said in the Bible, in his book. It says, the storyline of the Church of Rome seems filled with characters who wholeheartedly served in support roles. When I read Romans 16, we read the names of all the people who worked to advance the kingdom of God. First Alliance, our church is much like the Church of Rome. We have people who continually seek to advance the kingdom of God, although they are not in any particular leadership role. So what I want to do is, first of all, say thank you because your prayers are being felt by your leadership in a mighty, mighty way. We know that we have a church that prays for us. We know we have a church that's willing to serve with us. And we know we have a church that's willing to advance the kingdom of God and push back darkness. And I'm just excited to see what I've seen over the past 4 months. You see, I've been here for 4 months and I've had an opportunity to go out. We had an opportunity to go out with to Booker T. Elementary. We got an opportunity. The women's ministry served lunch for the staff. The staff here at First Alliance had an opportunity to go and play with the kids at field day. Not only did we get an opportunity to go and serve lunch at Booker T., but we had an opportunity here in the church to serve young lives. We had a Mother's Day dinner for the young ladies, for the young teenagers who are mothers, and we just really wanted to minister to them. It was great seeing the boomers get out and actually serve the community, and it was even better seeing the boomers with crayons coloring cards because we actually had more mothers that came than we initially anticipated. We also had an opportunity to go to Wellington and serve them lunch. And man, I'm telling you, that Critchfield chicken has been a hit everywhere we have taken it. It has truly, truly been one of the best things that the teachers have enjoyed. But First Alliance, I just want to say thank you. I want to say thank you for the ways you have served our community. I want to thank you for the ways you have reached not only within Lexington, but out and beyond to the ends of the world. I've truly had a blast serving with you guys. So today I really just want to highlight characteristics of a church that lives on mission, because what I want to remind us is that missional living is not a checklist, but it is an actual lifestyle that we live out. That's what brings me to my first point. A church that lives on mission knows that they only bring the gospel. Well, what is the gospel? It's the good news. It's the good news that God has offered salvation to anyone who will accept his free gift. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." The beauty of the good news, the beauty of the gospel, is that Jesus offers forgiveness for our sins if we confess. Jesus offers salvation from God's judgment because he took our punishment. And Jesus offers a better way because he's Lord. And here's what we have to understand about faith in Jesus Christ, though. It's more than just believing in the historical person of Jesus. We must believe that he is who he says he was. In John 4:6, he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." You see, Jesus is the only way we have to have an intimate relationship with God. So I just really want to stress that when a church is living on mission, they understand that they only bring the gospel. You see, it's important that we only bring Jesus and nothing else. I've seen too many leaders fall trying to preach the gospel and. I understand the temptation to add an "and" when we're preaching the gospel, but the reality is we are only called to bring the gospel. We can't give in to the temptation of adding works, adding politics, adding fame, adding influence, or adding our personal agenda when we go out and preach the gospel, not only in our community, but wherever we go. And when we run and when we try to add to the gospel, we make it harder for people to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I also go as far to say is when we add to the gospel, we are truly not being led by the Holy Spirit. Paul says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel." And the reality is we shouldn't be either. So now that we understand that a church that lives on mission only brings the gospel, we next have to understand, well, why is it that we only bring the gospel? You see, a characteristic of a church that lives on mission knows that they know why it's only the gospel. And I love what Paul says right here. He says, "For I am not ashamed." Why is he not ashamed? Because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first the Jew, then the Gentile. And then he goes on in 17 and says, "For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed." A righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, "The righteous will live by faith." Well, why is it only the gospel? Because it's the only way people will know how to be saved. And why do they need to know that? Because it's the righteousness of God that is revealed. You see, in our day and age, we see it all the time, but many think they can make their own way to God and then stand at the end and feel conscious free because they've done great things. And the reality is that when we add to the gospel, we distort people's ability to stand before Christ free of any works that they did within themselves. I know that Tyrone Jamal Vinegar is a wretched individual, and I needed Jesus' blood to pour on me and cleanse me from the day I finally realized I was lost. And when I stand before God, I'm only trusting in the complete work of Jesus Christ on the cross, because he is the one who did all that needs to be done for me to be considered righteous with God. It has nothing to do with anything else I do other than accepting that wonderful free gift that Jesus Christ has given me. So, First Alliance, when we go out with the gospel in our hearts, And we must go out being ready to share only the gospel when God gives us a chance. I love it. I just want to take some time right now. I don't really want to rush past this part, because here's the reality I still know. There could be someone in here today that has questions about their relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, you can have those questions answered. You could have an unsettled heart, but God is willing to settle your heart. I love what it says in Romans 10, 9 and 10, just how simple it is. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. You see, in the Bible, God encourages us all of the time. So if you are hearing my voice, and you are potentially feeling the nudge of the Holy Spirit to telling you to take action, I want you to just kind of process just for a second what it says in Hebrews 3 when he talks about the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. You see, characteristics of a church that lives on mission is they only bring the gospel when they go out. They know how, or they know why it's only the gospel. But the last characteristic of a church that lives on mission is they know how to bring the gospel. They know that they must bring the gospel with love. 1 John 4:16 tells us that God is love. So First Alliance, based on our mission statement, you see, your heartbeat has shown that you've always been there. It says, a church that loves our neighbors, reaches the nation, and raises up the next generation. You see, a church that knows how to bring the gospel with love, they understand the parable of the Good Samaritan, that it's not just your neighbors who live next door to you that are your neighbors and who you are called to love. They trust the Holy Spirit to love people through them. You see, it's only in the power of the Holy Spirit that we can love our neighbors the way God has called us to love our neighbors. And not last but not least, they understand some of the principles of Ephesians 6:12, for we battle not against flesh and blood. You know, I'm blown away that the Holy Spirit trusts us to love people, and I'm just thrilled that we get to live on the mission and love people throughout our mission, in our mission field. First and last, I want you to see our mission field. Right there, that little blue dot in the middle of all the red is basically a representation of First Alliance in the city of Lexington at the border of Jessamine County. The circle around it is about a 20-minute drive from this spot to wherever we can make it. Here's what I want us to understand. Our mission field is wherever it is that you live at. Lexington, Nicholasville, Versailles, it was within the 20-minute drive. But at the same time, we don't just stop in our Jerusalem. We continue to advance, and we pursue the ends of the earth. But what I want us to understand as we learn to live out is I want us to know what the makeup of our mission field is. You see, about 51% of the population in Lexington are between the ages of 15 and 49. 23% of our local mission field regularly attends church. So that's just right a little bit over 75% that don't. Watch this. 38% say they rarely attend church at all. You see, I see that as a very important value, because I am thrilled every single time I see people that I know walk into the church doors. But I would love to see, as a church, us continue to find new people, that we grow through new expressions of faith each time. It's my desire to see that candle lit every single week, that we light every time we hear of someone giving their life to Christ. But I just told us those facts so we can kind of understand our mission field. We also did, back when I first started, a congregational survey. And I love the results because it says 63% of First Alliance invited people to church. 57% feel equipped to share their faith. 41% have intentionally shared their faith in the past year. And 29% have intentional social interactions with people who don't know Jesus. First Alliance, God is honored in what we have done so far, but I believe he wants to do so much more with us. So when we know how to bring the gospel in love, we pick to love our neighbors even when they live a lifestyle that the Bible calls sin. If our neighbors don't like us, it's fine. We must pick to love them, remembering our call is to live out the gospel in love. And our neighbors may have different values, but we must remember that God wants to be in relationship with them. So I have a simple question. Will we pick to love our neighbors for his name's sake? You see, I'm asking us as a church, because it's not only the staff that is called to go out, but as we see within the Roman church, many people did the work of advancing the gospel, and all of us are called to advance the gospel of God. But not only do we get to love our neighbors, but we get to love our nations. And I've been blown away with the way we support our international workers and the Great Commission Fund. So just keep up the good work. Here's the reality. This is proof that God is doing great work through First Alliance. But lastly, we need to talk about how we love the next generation. You see, we got to remember that 51% of our mission field are between the ages of 15 and 49. You know, what they're watching us as they determine what they want to do with this Jesus we keep telling them about. And they are looking at us to see if we are walking out what we say we believe in. We must not only encourage them to go out, but we must model out for them. And just know this, it will take intentional faith as we do our part and trust God to do his. You see, First Alliance, I'm thrilled that we get to do this together. I'm thrilled that we get to walk in out through to advance God's kingdom. So I just really want to kind of remind you guys today that characteristics of a church that lives out is just simply that they know that they only bring the gospel. There's nothing more that we need to bring. They know why they only bring the gospel, because it's the power of God that leads to salvation. And they know how to bring the gospel, and they have to bring the gospel with love. First Alliance, I love you, and I'm thrilled that I get to serve with you. And as the worship team comes, I just ask that you'll pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy, and we just invite you in right now. Dear Heavenly Father, I'm not sure where each individual is, but dear Heavenly Father, I just ask right now that you'll tell us in our hearts, that you'll allow us to feel your grace, that you'll allow us to advance your kingdom. If someone needs to know you as Lord and Savior, dear Heavenly Father, put that nudge on their heart and let them know that they can come down front, dear Heavenly Father, and talk to someone from the prayer team. We would love to pray with them. We thank you for who you are and what you're doing through this church, for what you're doing through our lives. And we just ask you to continue to move, and we open our hearts for you. It's in your name we pray and ask it all. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Here at First Alliance Church, we love God, love others, and live fully engaged in Christ's Great Commission, starting in Lexington, Kentucky. To learn more about our church or to hear other sermons like this one, visit us at faclex.com.